Your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.
Good evening and welcome to the Power Hour with me, Gerinda Wet, on KC 107.7. Tonight's show is about inspiration, growth, and the power of your voice. So don't touch that dial. And if you're near your phone, get ready to join the conversation on 082-414-1077. My guest this evening is someone who truly embodies leadership, purpose, and passion for empowering others through the art of public speaking. He is none other than the incredible, inspiring Dr. Vincent Bosman, representative of Agora Power Communicators, a platform that is changing lives one speech at a time. And guess what? This is just the beginning. I'll be featuring more incredible voices from the Agora lineup soon. So if you ever dreamed of standing up on an international stage, owning the mic and sharing your message with the world, then this show is definitely for you. Stay tuned. It's time to level up your voice. Good evening to all of you out there. Good evening, and you're right back with me, Gerine De Wet, on KC107.7, your host for the Power Hour. And this evening, you can connect with me on 082-414-1077. And as I promised, I'm back with a powerful voice that stands behind Paul Agora Communicators, and we have Dr. Vincent Bosman in the studio this evening. Good evening, Doctor. How are you doing?
Good evening, Gerine. Good evening, listeners. I'm so glad to be with you. I am stunning to be with you. So thank you for having me on the show.
You're most welcome. And yeah, I think it's an honor for us to have you with us this evening. So let's get into it. What is Agora?
Well, there are different answers one could give. Let me start with the ancient Greeks. Agora, in ancient Greek, especially in your city-states like Athens and the other cities, Sparta is the other one, was a public space, open public space, like a market space. And the purpose of that space was to create a context where people could get together. They would have debates, they'd have discussions, they'd discuss politics. And that would be the open space where all these thoughts are shared. And hence the whole notion of Agora is a space where people get together to share ideas, to discuss, debate, and to make decisions. Also very interesting is that the fear of public spaces is also called agoraphobia, which is very interesting, I must say.
That is interesting.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people have a fear for open spaces. And that is translated also into a fear for speaking or public speaking. And Agora was started, I think, in 2016 as a public organization, something similar to Toastmasters. But it's the difference is it is free, and that makes it more accessible to people. So it's a space where people can join and learn to speak in public as a start.
What an interesting piece of history that I had no idea of. You know, and the Greeks are always, you know, to me, they are masters of the universe. I don't know, that's how I see it.
Well, I would say the Africans, but okay.
Public speaking, we tend to agree to disagree.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, so what is public speaking?
Well, I think one must first come back to speaking, and then we go to public speaking. I think the point that I want to stress tonight is that essentially, speech is what defines us. Some people argue that you get statements and questions, etc., etc. But there's a language philosopher, John Austin, that says that speech are acts. Speech are things that make other things happen. For example, if you have the context of a man and a woman standing in front of a pastor or maybe a magistrate, and they say, "I do," and he says, "I now declare you husband and wife," those words become an act.
Oh.
It does something. It's not only words. And so hence, you are defined by your words. You are known by your words. What you say and how you say it tells me something about you.
Mm.
And so it's essentially important for you to know how to engage with words and how to use words to define and to make yourself known in the world. So, public speaking, to come back to that question, is when you engage with more than one other person in words, when you speak in the broader public.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, there are different contexts and purposes why we speak in public. If you look at public speakers, great public speakers, you have people like John F. Kennedy,
yeah,
a charismatic speaker, who changed the world. If you think about 1961, for example, about the Cuban crisis, the Russians coming into Cuba. And he spoke and he said, "This will not be. We will secure the safety of the world," etc. You think of a very simple woman, Mother Teresa, speak about passion and putting the passion into action. So her words found themselves in action in the communities, the poor communities that she served. And the number of these speakers, and I can think, you look at me and say, "Please stop, I also want to talk." Right, is there anything else you'd like to ask me?
No, I'm fascinated. You didn't mention Madiba there.
Well, you could mention Madiba. You could mention Mahatma Gandhi.
Yes.
You could mention Martin Luther King,
it's
Jr.
It's
stunning.
Yeah.
Again, it shows how words have shaped the world.
Mm.
Initially, words shape people, then it shapes the world. Let me give you a simple example of children. How words shape children. What you say to a child, how you address the child, gives the child a sense of who and what he is. If you consistently criticize, the child will develop a negative self-concept that has been shaped
for sure
by your words. Right?
For sure.
And so it's very important how we address not only children but people. Interesting thing, if you look at the letter of St. James in Scripture, I think it's chapter 3. The man nods at me, he knows his Bible, I can see. It's chapter 3, from verse 3 onwards to about 5, 6, thereabouts. He speaks about the tongue as one of the smallest organs of the body.
Yes.
That does the greatest harm.
Yes.
So it can build or it can destroy. So it's important how we use it. One must think about that. And when we talk about public speaking, it is that very tongue that designs the context in which we engage, that designs the reality that emanates from that engagement. And so it's important that we develop not only personal speech, but personal speech translated into the public domain or the agora, where we can make things happen, persuade people to do things differently, or make things possible for people. And I think that's why I would suggest that especially people who want to make a difference to themselves first personally and to make a contribution to society to join a public speaking organization. For example, Paul Communicators.
Right? Wow. I'm actually speechless as I'm listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually listen to you for hours because the detail, the way you explain things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really fascinated about that fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we go to a music break, I just want to say that this interview will be on our podcast,
okay,
on our website, for anyone that has missed anything. And I would also want to mention that there will be follow-up interviews next week and that you will be able to listen to Dr. Vincent Bosman in the house.
Okay.
So, Doctor, before we go to a music break, why do you think is it important to develop our ability to speak in public?
Well, my first response would be, essentially, we are relational beings. We are born from relationships.
Yes.
Right? There's a clause saying that says, "Umuntu ngamuntu ngabaya bantu," which says, "I am who I am because of you."
Mm.
And to turn that around, your you-ness defines my me-ness. And the definition of who and what we are is constituted in language. So in a personal interaction, interpersonal communication is important. But my identity in a larger context, in a public context, in the public domain, is defined by the way we address the public and speak in public. Hence, public speaking is important. In, for example, you have the power hour.
Yes.
The power of the person is defined in the power of the language and the way in which he expresses himself or herself. Hence, public speaking is important. If you look at this whole notion of emotional intelligence, how to deal with the emotions, how to capture them, how to manage it, all of that is essentially done in the context of language. You speak yourself through it. Your emotions becomes real only when you can name them. And then you can address them, and then you can deal with them. So we talk about emotional intelligence. I want today, for Radio KC, define a new term. Not emotional intelligence, but CI, communication intelligence. And so I want to argue that we need to develop and grow our communicative or communication intelligence in order to enhance and accelerate the development of our emotional intelligence. And hence, I would invite people to join a public speaking organization or society.
Most definitely, I do agree there. And language does define us in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to come on that point where you mentioned about the child.
Mm-hmm.
I have an 8-year-old. I know my how my words influences him mm-hmm. by the day. If I say, Vito, you need to focus, then we get things done, then we get ready, and then we sort it, and then we can mm-hmm. take a break. Simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts it into play, mm-hmm. you know. And I would also, like I say, through language and through power communicators and Agora, we can become better communicators, even in our relationships, in our lives.
Definitely, definitely. You're talking about relationships. So let's talk about marriage as a relationship. As a good, let's talk about marriage as a good relationship.
Or people that are going to get married.
Oh, follow my eyes, but don't do live.
Yes,
fortunately,
yeah,
they can't see on the radio.
No, they can't see what we're doing here.
I think what really keeps a relationship together is good communication.
Mm.
And most marriages, if not all of them, tend to begin to fall apart when there is bad communication
Definitely.
Or no communication. And that is when people drift apart. Because the lack of words, the absence of words, make people drift apart.
Yeah.
The presence of good communication, honest communication, and clear communication draw people together.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And on
mm-hmm.
that note, we're going to go over to a music break. And on that note, we're going to go to a music break. And Dr. Bosman, anything on the playlist for us tonight?
Well, I'll tell you, don't tempt me. One of my favorite guys would be Oscar Peterson. He's a Canadian pianist. Stunning. I'd like us to listen to one of his original compositions, When Summer Comes. It was first played at a performance in Vienna, and the album is called A Night in Vienna. It's stunning music, it's alluring, it captures the sense of expectation, waiting for summer to come. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy it. It's very mellow and it'll help them to think about a conversation that we've just had.
right back with us on the Power Hour, KC 107.7, and that was When Summer Comes, from Oscar Peterson. And Dr. Bosman is still in the house with us. So, Doctor, how does speech translate into influence and power?
Well, I think that is self-explanatory. If you look at different scenarios, let us first look at the political scenario. We find that in politics, the power of persuasive speech gets people to vote for a particular person. And speech creates expectations, not always met. And in that way, it creates the potential for people to get into power. If you look at business, and I think that's where we sometimes miss the point. The way we engage in business is, first of all, for me, about honesty. It is also about being persuasive. It's about the ability to sell your product. It's marketing. Marketing in the modern world is one of the most powerful ways in which one can see speech changing the minds of people, getting people to buy a product. And the interesting thing about marketing for me is, not knowing anything about it because it's not my field, but for me is that most of the time they create the need in the person, and then they create the product to meet the need. So it doesn't always speak to your needs. It first creates the need.
Yeah.
So the language persuades you to understand that you need Article A, which doesn't exist yet. Then the company creates Article A. We see this with young people. We see those fashion trends. But now more than ever before, we see it in what we call the influences. And that's a powerful example of how language influences people. Influences use a certain kinds of language.
So true.
Creates images. And that gets young people to follow. And that's how, in a nutshell, it creates power. Yeah.
So, listening to you this evening, my conclusion before we end off the show, and we're definitely having you back next week.
Well, that depends on Paul Communicators.
If I listen to you now in everything that you've said, just in this few minutes tonight, there isn't an industry that doesn't need the need for learning to speak, learning to be able to hear your voice and learn what is public speaking, because it will only improve what you are doing in your field. Would that be correct?
Well, I would absolutely agree with you. I think one would start off by saying that in essence, what defines us as human is not only the capacity to communicate, and it doesn't have to be words, because some people can't speak. It is, in essence, the capacity to communicate.
Yeah.
But more than that, the need to communicate. And no business, no enterprise, no human being can grow unless he or she has mastered, has developed the capacity to communicate. The more effectively you can do that, the greater the potential of growth, the greater the capacity to understand other people. I mean, if you look at reading, I try to read at least, even if it's just two sentences per night, because reading is feeding the mind with ideas.
Yeah.
And ideas are captured in words. And your ability to understand the word deepens the richness of your understanding and your own growth, so that you can use that in your own communication. So it's essential. All businesses, all people
do
need to be able to communicate publicly. You need to be voiced. Develop your own voice. And your voice is your presence.
Definitely. And how does speaking, lastly, before you also give us more contact details for whoever needs to get in touch with Power Communicators. So how does speaking define you as a person?
Well, I started out by saying, by your words you will be known. You cannot speak that which is not in your mind. You cannot speak that which is not part of your thinking. You cannot speak which is not part of your being. You cannot speak that which does not inform who and what you are. You cannot speak truly that in which you do not believe. So in essence, your whole being what you are, how you think, how you feel, what you wish, what you envisage, finds expression in your words. Hence, your words define you. And so we must be very careful how we speak. We must be very careful how we address people, how we engage with people. Because if I speak to a person who is less than me,
yeah,
in a condescending way, it doesn't say anything about that person that's bad. It speaks about me. Because your language, your words are always self-reflected. It reflects on what you are. And we've got an interesting history in this country, the history of apartheid. Apartheid defined people in different kinds of categories. Some were more human than others.
Yes, definitely.
But simply because you're defined as black or colored or Indian or whatever doesn't make you inferior. It only says to you, that ever speaks to you, see you as inferior. It speaks about that person's perception of you and not of who and what you are. But because of the power of words, and because it's been repeated so many times, and because it's become a reality in which we experience the country, a lot of people still believe that they are colored, that they are black, that they're this, that, and the other. And they resist many times, first of all, to become human, to embrace who and what they really are, before they look at the subcategories. And that's how powerful language is. And on that note, just an interesting thing. We have spoken about whites and non-whites. And I said to my colleagues, why don't we speak about blacks and non-blacks? And I said, it's very simple. It's again the power of language.
Yeah.
You see, in the term non-whites, white is the superordinate,
yes,
is the main part of the word. And that defines what is right. And so if you're not white, you're non-white. If you're not good, you're non-good. If you're not beautiful, you're non-beautiful. And that's why they won't turn it around. Another example of how language operates in that kind of racist way is when we had the war in Europe in Herzegovina, or Herzegovina, as some people say. They always speak about black-on-black violence. My question was, I taught at the School of Journalism at the time, why don't journalists write about white-on-white violence? Why only black-on-black violence? Because there was clearly a case of white-on-white violence.
Yeah.
It is simply because of the international agenda that whiteness will never be linked to something that is negative. And hence the power of language. And so it's easy for us to understand that blacks are violent because we've got black-on-black violence. But we can't understand white-on-white violence. For me, it is not the color of violence. It is human-on-human violence. I want to end this idea with a quote from the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Racism is not defined by the color of your skin, but by the content of your mind. And that is something I'd like people to understand and remember. Again, the power of language.
Sure. Trust me, there's more coming. And I would like to, on that note, encourage anybody listening tonight, send a voice note to 0824141077. It will not be played tonight, but on our follow-up show. What is your view on communication? Do that, and I want to say thank you, Dr. Bosman, for taking time out to be with us, to share your knowledge, your everything that's in you with us. It's a real privilege for me to have interviewed you, but also to know you're coming back. Give us some contact details if somebody is interested in joining Paul Communicators. Or
yeah, at the moment, I don't have a number of the president with me, but I'll give you my number.
Okay, that's good.
You can
good.
Call me, and then I will put you in touch. We have our meetings, as a matter of interest, every last Thursday of the month. The Oude Renbaan. That's very interesting because the Oude Renbaan looks like a place where you go when you really get out, ne? Like Oude Renbaan, but that's really where we learn.
Yes.
My number is 082-200-6972. That should do.
That is. Yeah. And thank you very much. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you for having me on your show, because this show is also a prime example of power to the people through public speaking, because radio is a public speaking forum.
Definitely.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Doctor.
The city's favorite, Casey, 106.